This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
At the box office for a couple of movies. We'll tell you about that. Plus, coming up this hour, your thoughts as we hit the mailbag and Elon Musk with a big change for Twitter. I know a lot of you tweet, so how do you feel about it? Israel kind of on the brink. There have been a lot of violent clashes, and this has to do with the re-racking of their Supreme Court. You may still be feeling the heat. Yes, it is another record-setting week, or it looks to be throughout the rest of this week, for many places in the Southwest and in the South. Some spots in the Midwest even are getting some crazy triple digits or the feel of triple digits like Minneapolis. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Hope you had a great weekend. Maybe you were in line at the movies catching a Barbie or catching an Oppenheimer or catching the Sounds of Freedom, although the Sounds of Freedom has surpassed 100 million, and I think that movie is going to keep to evolve and pull in more and more people, but had a couple of big weeks, and much different where you talk about now a Barbie and an Oppenheimer, because the Freedom movie was a movie that didn't have big Hollywood backing and then found a studio. It was on the shelf, and then a studio found it, wanted it, paid to get it off the shelf and get it out there, and it has become a different kind of phenomenon. The situation with Barbie and Oppenheimer, there was a lot of press for both movies. There was lots of movie trailers, a lot of conversation about it. And sure enough, Warner Brothers, which produced Barbie, got the top spot this past weekend, $155 million in ticket sales. With the heat, there were people beating the heat. There were a lot of women that went to see it, a lot of young girls that went to see it. It premiered in over 4,200 different locations. So $155 million. The biggest opening for a female director, Greta Gerwig, who did Barbie. Just box office gold for sure. And then Oppenheimer was Christopher Nolan, the director of that one, pulled moviegoers back in to help with that whole record numbers, because it certainly has been lagging the business. And then you have strikes and everything else that's mixed into the middle of it. So that movie opens with over $85 million that's being pulled in. So you have the two big, as far as big backing Hollywoodish movies, and then you have the will this movie get out there movie, and between I think all three, and then throw in a Mission Impossible. It's been a big, I think, summer so far for movies. But if we stick with just, like, for example, this whole Barbie thing, because it was their weekend. You know, 65% of the audience, according to Post-Track, because they look at the ticket buyers, they have all that, they say that 65% of the audience and 40% of the ticket buyers were under the age of 25. It was a PG-13 rated movie. And there were definitely women that went to see it because they had Barbies and they dressed up in pink and all kinds of things. And then Oppenheimer found its audience too as well, which was kind of a mixed audience. But the Oppenheimer movie focused on him and focused on the atom bomb and what happened and the specifics more of him and his eyes of what took place during that historic time versus Barbie, which was kind of a movie that was mixed with different themes in it, including just the iconicness of, you know, throwing back to Barbie and what Barbie was. So Interesting. I was part of that movie-going crowd. I saw Oppenheimer, and it was a kind of a last-minute decision, a Hubs decision, and we were lucky. We got we got tickets in a very crowded theater, and all of the theaters and all of the showings, and of course for both of those movies, there were so many screens. Just like Freedom. Freedom has a lot of screens where, you know, you go and there's five different times that you can go and see it, but it was just absolutely, I mean, absolutely packed, packed, packed. In Israel, they weren't talking about movies. They were talking about the judicial overhaul in that country. And what does it mean? Israel passed a bill to limit the Supreme Court's power. So there's been a lot of reaction to the judicial overhaul. And there was a lot of controversy over the reasonableness of this bill. It's the first major legislation in the government's plan, which is Prime Minister Netanyahu, to weaken the judiciary. There have been 6 months of protests. There's been pressure from other countries not to have any kind of a shakeup of the court system. Since the country's founding, they haven't had this. The bill passed, and posted a 64-0, not a none. That's how it passed, with all members of the governing coalition voting for it. All members of the opposition left the chamber while the roll call vote was taking place. There was rumors last week that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu might back down on the vote or maybe soften some of it, but that didn't happen. So the bill strips the Supreme Court of the power to declare government decisions unreasonable. That's one thing. That's a very, very big thing. So the country is split on this. There have been a lot of protests. There's been some violence that's happened. The Prime Minister and his supporters argue that the Supreme Court has become too much of an elitist group. They don't represent the Israeli people. They say it's overstepped its role, getting into issues it shouldn't even rule on. So he's been defending his plans. He's pointed out that this is Netanyahu. He's pointed out that countries like the United States, where politicians, this is what he says, control which federal judges are appointed and approved. So he's saying this is not what we want. We're moving forward in a different way. So this makes it more difficult for a sitting prime minister to be declared unfit for office. Restricting the reasons to physical or mental incapacity and requiring either the prime minister themselves or two-thirds of the cabinet to vote for such a kind of declaration. There are strong views about this with the allies of Israel and others, obviously. And so Netanyahu hasn't gotten an invitation to the White House. But Israel's president, Isaac Herzog, has been trying to forge a kind of a compromise between government and opposition on that whole overhaul, was invited to meet Biden in Washington last week to talk about being a partner and a friend. So moving forward, it'll be interesting to see how much of a protest continues, because there is a lot of protest to this, right? I mean, there are people in the streets that, and they're quelling it, but now it's about that this bill is passed. What does it mean? How does it get implemented? All of that. And the court opens for business, of course, and is opening for business on Tuesday. Your thoughts coming up as we go to the mailroom for the mailbag.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
All right, let's dive right in. Max says, Kate, those brown trucks you've been talking about, UPS. My company uses UPS a lot, and I'm wondering if the strike moves forward, because I know it's coming up, the date. I've been paying attention to what you're saying, and I'm looking for alternatives. Yeah, you're not the only one looking for alternatives, Max. UPS and the Teamsters Union that represents, like, I want to say over 340,000 of those employees are at the end of their contract. It expires July 31st, so we don't have much time there. And there's been a lot of back and forth that it looked like there was a stalemate was going to be lifted, and now the sides are back at the table on Tuesday. So we'll see, because there's still some time. If it is a strike, boy, talk about a disruption to the supply chain and some of the delivery delays that people will face. And so imagine that. The strike would mean, and what they're looking at is you look at the prices between shipping and the logistics and the union, and boy, that, I mean, it's all about the moving it faster, get it there. It's weird too, because the last time when they had a really big strike was in 97. I was digging into this a little bit, and that was a 15-day strike. but less workers, like half of the amount I'm talking about now. And it's been a bit. And of course, the push is they want, you know, certain things, meaning better pay, the obvious stuff, the hours, all of that. But logistically, what a nightmare. What a nightmare this could be on, I mean, there's non-economic issues too. That's all part of when you're dealing with this kind of a contract that we're talking about. And, if not, if everybody walks away, if it's a walk away and it's a strike, whoo, boy, oh boy. No deal, no dice. It does mean you have to look at other options. And there are other options of FedEx type, of, you know, the United States Postal Service is another one. But when you're used to the UPS and the methods that they use, and you know quickly, or you feel satisfied with how they move packages and what you're paying, it's a tough jump, because all are very different. Trust me, as somebody who has used all three. So there you go. All right, this one is from Anne, who says, what's the scoop with Elon Musk, Kate? The guy is just, it's like, do you have to be brilliant and not at the same time? I mean, you know, what he's doing to this social media platform is ridiculous. He's just taking a saw and cutting it up in different directions. As a person who is in marketing, I don't understand the method of this madness of his. Yeah, he explained that the famous Bluebird logo, that it was he's moving on from it, that he has a broader platform idea for communications and financial transactions, and it's going to be X. You know, it's X. So he's discarding that and going for this black and white look of an X instead of the whole tweeting thing. I mean, it's just different, you know. Listen, nothing he has done goes in line with maybe what you think he would do. And it's his company. He can do what he wants, but he certainly has tanked financially some of it from some of the ridiculousness as far as how he's handled the employee situations. So it's, believe it or not, Twitter, that whole bird has been around, the Bluebird has been around 17 years. And the headquarters are in San Francisco, so it's done. It's off the building as of Monday. The bird went down. Take away the bird. You speak, give me the bird. Take away the bird. And one of the things that one of the designers said, that he said he was sad to see it go. I saw a great quote from the person who came up with the Bluebird logo. His name's Martin Grasser. He said, it represents the best of the Internet's adolescence. I think it recalls a time when we, a lot of people, I don't mean this to sound cynical, but believe more in the power of the Internet. Well, I still say it's the devil you know and the devil you don't want to know when we talk about social media. So this whole rebranding is part of Musk's idea of the everything app in 3 to 5 years. So you would have everything in one spot. The X would be the everything. And so boom for Twitter. It means maybe you don't even really use that platform, but you use X for other things. That's his branding idea. And I think it's crazy when you have a recognizable brand. Maybe you're changing some of the things that you're doing, but taking the bird, bye-bye bird, up the X. And we'll see where it goes. All right, we move on to Trevor, who says, hi, Kate Delaney. I listen to the show. I like the fact that you mix it up a lot more. I'll tell you what. I've heard you talk about this a couple of times, but this story just gets weirder and wackier and sicker. The guy in New York, Rex Hauerman, who is accused of killing who knows how many women, where it's been, I guess, decades, they keep finding weirder and stranger things related to him. I mean, he's been arrested. I've seen things where his neighbors say they had no idea, the family kept to itself or seemed okay, and now it seems like every other week the police, in combing through his house, are finding evidence of who knows how many women he may have murdered. He was a serial killer, and he had a family, and they had apparently no idea, and I guess his wife is divorcing him. Yeah, you guess so. Yeah, definitely. I'm kind of glad you brought that up. It was a day where they found, you know, every day, you're right, what's next? And they keep excavating different areas of property. They found a vault, this giant vault, and in the vault, 200 weapons. And he's already been charged with the murders of three women. They were sex workers before they were killed, and they were found in burlap along this beach on Long Island. And he is now also the prime suspect in a couple of another murder of someone else who was found in burlap, and that was back in 2010 too. They found at least 10 sets of human remains during their investigation into the string of killings. And of course, he's pled not guilty to the charges of his arrest. He's being held without bond in Riverhead, New York, at a facility, corrections facility there. The newest twist is, like I said, is that they found these firearms at his house, and they're searching the property. They say it should be wrapped up by this week, and they're comparing other cold cases across the country even. You know what? DNA is what is nailing so many of these people. So this whole investigation, how do they pin him down? They found an abandoned pizza crust that he threw out into a Manhattan trash to get his DNA. The DNA on the food matched the DNA to a male hair found in the burlap. That's how they arrested him. It's becoming so much more common, especially in these cold cases or hunt for serial killers, you know, all of that. So he had this double life where he was in Massapequa Park and he had a business in Manhattan, and people cannot remedy who this person is. It just doesn't make any sense to them. All right, hang with us. A couple of great authors coming up next. Paul Broderick telling us about what's it like when all of a sudden you get that diagnosis of cancer and how you move on.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. A majority of voters believe federal prosecutors have a strong case against former President Trump in the U.S. Capitol riot probe. That's according to a new Harvard University Capps-Harris poll. It found 57% of registered voters think that prosecutors have either a strong or very strong case against Trump. Protests are rocking Israel after Parliament passed a law weakening that country's Supreme Court. This Israeli military reservist is criticizing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
I'm ashamed of him. I think he's the first dictator of Israel. I think he's lost his heart.
The measure removes the court system's ability to strike down unreasonable government decisions. Whataburger is heading further west. The Texas-based burger chain will open their first restaurant on the Las Vegas Strip. It will be located at the Waldorf Astoria and open 24 hours a day. John Schaefer, USA News.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
To Australia for a conversation with Paul Broderick. He's written, I think, a really powerful book, one that so many people I know could use for various reasons, honestly. And the book is called Cancer Mentality: The Cure for Cancer is in the Mind. Heal Your Attitudes and Beliefs. So we're so glad that he's joining us here on Author's Corner on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. And Paul, thanks for coming on to share your story.
Oh, no worries, Kate. Wonderful to be with you. Thank you.
Let's talk about what was it, first of all, that drove you to write the book?
Okay, so I had a relatively sudden diagnosis and appearance of a tumor, roughly 3 inches in diameter, that needed to be operated quite quickly on so that my health could be preserved. And I just could not understand it because I had been supposedly living the healthy lifestyle and thinking positively and I thought doing all the right things in inverted commas. So to get that news was quite a slap in the face and I really wanted to understand what the heck was going on. Yeah.
And so you're asking that question that people ask themselves, why me? Why me? I feel healthy. I've done this. I've done that. And you were searching for answers. So in searching for answers, you found some incredible information, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And it's everywhere. It's so available. Yeah, absolutely. Books, documentaries, YouTube, it's everywhere. There are awesome teachers. And fundamentally, my interest, Kate, became the law of attraction, I suppose, is the most cutting edge or the most modern idea. Spiritual slash, physical ideas and ways to live in the world. But the mind-body connection then brought me to this understanding of how my thoughts and my beliefs then lead to emotions that do change our physiology. And in my case, brought me over some years to a tumor. It didn't appear suddenly. Yeah.
And, you know, you get, and then you're in the hospital and you're thinking about it. You're thinking about avoiding conflict. You're thinking about family dynamic. And you get this clarity. So there was something that became very clear to you, right, as a result of what you were reading and what you were feeling. And how did that metamorphosize? How did that change your life?
Well, it took a lot of silence. Honestly, I had to slow my busy, fast-paced, chasing money lifestyle down. And that was aided by the fact that my business had closed and I'd lost almost everything, nearly went bankrupt in the process. And so, you know, the shock of that, the stress of that, the sadness and the challenging, who am I now anyway in this world with no business and no money, and then I'm sick. What can I do but take my time now and reassess? Because I no longer want to be that person. Obviously, that has created this illness in me. And then in the silence, I could hear my true self. I could hear, I don't know, God, let's say, my soul whispering and talking. And I don't mean that in that I heard voices or actual words, but in inclinations and intuitions. And so I started researching, and I was just led to the right books to read. And, you know, I really immersed myself in teachers such as Abraham Hicks that I'd been listening to for years anyway, but kind of giving lip service to it. And I really just chose to change old habits and just do this work, which simply meant get happy regardless of the situation. And next minute, I'm getting well. Yeah.
Wow. And again, the book is Cancer Mentality. The cure for cancer is in the mind. Heal your attitudes and beliefs. Tell us more, Paul, about the book.
Okay. So it weaves my, well, it started as a jumble of notes. It was, I'm not a writer. I was not a writer. But my partner at the time was a writer. And after all of these reams of notes, trying to figure out how to become the new me, the cancer-free me, because the doctors and the medical system generally has wonderfully treated me but said, we'll see you back within 5 years. Oh, and you might need to have chemo and you might need radiation, etc. And I didn't want any of those things. And so my jumbled notes on the research that I was doing to figure out how to change were obviously very helpful to me and to her, my partner, and she said, I think you might have a book in this. And I sort of laughed at her, but then through many hours of work and many iterations, the jumbled notes turned from a massive mess into something that maybe other people could read, but needed a lot more work. And in essence, what it's done is weave my story of the background to why I was so fearful, to why I was being given a genetic diagnosis of a genetic mismatch, so a repair gene that was allowing cancer to form, and meld that through some old ideas on metaphysical approaches to health and cutting-edge new scientific ideas on how the mind-body connection works to bring changes in our physiology. So the idea is that my story allows other people to see the applicability of these cutting edge and old ideas and how to therefore apply it into their own lives for more wellness and for less major disease in their lives.
Oh, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? And you're saying it, but if you were to really even boil it down more, what's the one thing you definitely want readers to learn or take away from your book?
Oh, very simply that they can be in charge of their own lives. Yeah, we can choose our own prognosis. Simple.
Yeah, boy, I so agree with it. Do you feel more at peace now than when you, as you said, it's so interesting, you were constantly working, chasing the dollar, and there must have been, obviously, you had success and there was excitement in that, and then you get brought to your knees. But now do you feel like you're more at peace and you're just a different person?
So much so. Yeah, absolutely, Kate. You hit it on the head. It's not only, yes, more at peace and definitely a different person. I'm certainly not that cancerous Paul. But I can still have the same ideas or wishes about money, for example, but I'm so clear now that I don't need to strive like I did. And it, whether it's money or love or, you know, pick any other subject, I don't need to strive. It can come to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
And for you, in getting those markers and knowing you're clear, there's got to be relief in that, but you have belief already anyway, correct?
Yeah, I did, but I was giving it lip service. You know, I'm really happy with who I am, where I am now, and I wouldn't be that guy if it wasn't for all of those previous experiences. And that's why in the book I call it my growth with a capital G, because it was an internal growth, it was a tumor within me, but what it did was made me grow. And so in essence, I'm grateful. I'm thankful for that experience because it really woke me up. I can still be that. In fact, I can be better than that Paul that existed before the tumor.
Yeah. After writing Cancer Mentality, does it make you want to write? It's funny because you didn't think you were going to write a book and you described it. I love how you said it was jumbled notes, but you had to write the book. Does it make you want to write another book?
Absolutely. I have two or three in mind. Yeah. Yeah.
And what direction will you take with those books?
The next one I've partially written already. It's an exploration of how very deeply belief impacts our life. And we don't even know it. So all of us are living within millennia old ideas that have formed society and religion and et cetera today. You know, even the dynamic between men and women. These are mostly ideas. The money that we use, it's an idea. So how deeply those things impact our lives and certainly our physiology. And it's kind of a spin-off of this Cancer Mentality book, but it's not based on my story so much. It's much more a self-help book to show that happiness is the key and that mood really matters. Yeah.
And it'd be worth asking this too, because, you know, sometimes people, it's meditation, it's walking on the beach, it's other things that also get them into that space, even if they are at peace. Do you do those things?
Absolutely. Yeah, I learned so much. I could mention a little shout out to the Conversations with God books because they were very formative in me about 25 or so years ago. And something that's spelled out beautifully in those books by Neil Donald Walsh includes the fact that you can meditate just by stopping for a moment. You can just smile, take a moment and look around and see the wonder of any moment in your life. And so those small things have become big things in the way I live my life now. And it's a joy.
Yeah, well, you can tell. Pick up this book, and I can't wait for the others. Paul Broderick, Cancer Mentality, The Cure for Cancer is in the Mind. Heal your attitudes and beliefs. And you can get it on Amazon, again, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Body needs a brain. Floods of toxic pain. Scenes of evil slain. Where the lives are saved.
Hey, Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
So I am so excited to introduce you to our next guest because I think he's going to be incredibly helpful to so many in this audience. He's in our virtual green room right now. He's an attorney. His name is Richard Sierra, and his book, it's a perfect title, Business SOS, 8 Common Legal Mistakes Business Owners Make and How to Avoid Them. Who doesn't want to avoid business mistakes? Richard, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, boy, we've talked to a lot of lawyers here on Author's Corner on America Tonight, but I think you have really nailed the equation. And that's saying something because I do come from a family of lawyers too. So your language is very explicit. It's simple. It's easy to understand. What have you seen is one of the biggest problems that so many business owners face when they go into business?
I think one of the biggest problems that I see is that business owners, they tend to do things on their own. And business owners by nature are problem solvers. But one of the key common mistakes that I see is that they go into lease agreements, commercial leases, without having an attorney review those leases beforehand. And they just begin their business at a disadvantage. Leases are really written for the benefit of the landlord. And there are just so many different charges that are included in a lease that if they do not understand what they're getting into, at the end, they're going to run into some legal problems.
Yeah, and that can be from the length of the lease to things that happen, common things with AC, right?
Yes, I mean, what happened, there are different types of commercial leases, and a lot of them are like 25 pages long. They're written by a very well-skilled attorneys, again, for the benefit of the landlords. But one of the things that I try to focus, and I mentioned this in the book, is like, go to the various charges that their business owner is going to be responsible for. For instance, the maintenance of what are you going to be responsible for once you sign on that lease. So you're going to a small commercial retail space, for instance, and the prior landlord, the prior tenant was there maybe for 5 years. The AC maybe have 10 years of life, and then you go in there, you sign a 10-year lease. Most likely that AC will have to be replaced at some point within your lease term. So you have to make sure that you negotiate with the landlord what's going to happen with that AC. Am I going to be responsible for, or will you be replacing that AC when it goes out?
And it's interesting because I think I obviously know the motivation, but what really drove you to decide, hey, I'm going to write this book?
I saw, you know, I've been now in practice for 18 years, and I've spoken to a few thousand business owners throughout my career. And what I saw, a lot of the problems were repeated, were the same type of issues, whether they signed a contract without speaking with an attorney, they did not understand the terms, they went into a partnership with someone without with an oral agreement and not a written document, they defended a lawsuit on their own. So I said, you know what, I think if I can reach a larger audience with the book, and maybe if I can save $10,000, a few hundred thousand dollars for a business owner by avoiding this landmine that at some point a business owner is going to face, then I've accomplished my job.
Yeah, and there you go. And it's perfect, too, for even your own clients, but for people that are listening to this show, and I said this at the beginning, and I know there are so many, Richard, that fall into this trap because they've sent me emails about it. There are some really great things that you mention in the book and ways to forecast what could happen, because that's the whole idea. There's another, we're going to give them one more thing that's really big, and I've fallen into this trap, I have to admit. What happens when someone close to you, your best buddy, someone in your family, you have a great idea. Oh, they want to help you. You want to get together. Let's do this. It's the Wild West. What happens with partnerships?
Partnership disputes is kind of a core central part of my practice. People go with greatest intentions going into partnerships. What I see here is that people do not put it in writing. A lot of oral agreements. They transfer money without understanding what other responsibilities are. And many times when you have partners that do not have their duties and responsibilities and obligations, more important, limitations in writing, that's when you're going to run into problems from misunderstandings that take place. And then ultimately they end up in an attorney's office and then a lawsuit begins. So the best thing is, you know, get it in writing. Even if it's a one-page document, you better do it in writing than do it in oral agreement.
Boy, no kidding. What do you hope people take away from reading your book, which is so easy to get on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, Business SOS, 8 Common Legal Mistakes Business Owners Make and How to Avoid Them?
What I want to take out of the book is that, you know, a business is a journey, and you're going to run into situations along the way that you were not expecting. And some of them might be minor, but some of them may require some legal intervention. So if the book might give you some of those red flags that you might face along the way, hopefully you will not face all of them. That would be a really bad year. But if you face one or two and then you say, you know what, I read about this in this book, maybe I can get a lawyer. And if it keeps you up at night, it's time to call an attorney.
You know what, and that's kind of a good question to ask you as well, because as you said, you've been practicing for 18 years, you've seen thousands of people. If someone's looking for an attorney, it'd be great if they could go to you, but you can only represent so many people in your area. But what would you suggest they do when they're looking for an attorney? How do you find a good attorney?
An attorney, especially for business owners, the attorney has to be able to understand and relate to business owners. So, you know, having that experience is significant because the business owners work with limited budgets. They work with a lot of stress. So you need to find an attorney that understands what a business owner goes through to relate to you to be able to help you solve the problem as fast and efficiently as possible. You do not want to get into a long, drawn-out legal battle with anyone. It's just not cost-effective.
Yeah, and you don't want to end up in court, right? It's always messy when it goes to court.
Yes. Litigation is something that you want to avoid at all costs. Sometimes you have to go into litigation. If you can avoid it and solve the problem, that you're better off that way.
For you, what was it like writing this book? Was it challenging? Was it cathartic? Did it just feel good to get it out there?
I feel good. It's been 10 years in the making. And as I gained more experience, I was able to add more anecdotes and also a different perspective as well. And some of the mistakes I made myself along the way. I'm a small business owner myself. So it was very helpful, and I'm getting great feedback from my clients. They're excited when I sign a book for them and send it to them. So it's been a great experience.
For you and in all these different people that you've represented, is there one story, and I'm sure you have a bunch of them, you feel really good that you really kind of rescued the person from ending up spending more money and getting deeper into the stress and whatnot?
Yes, I met a couple during COVID that were going to buy a home health agency. They wanted to do like a nursing recruitment agency. And they're basically going to take the money out of the 401k. And as I kept talking to them, asking them, you know, this is your first business? They said yes. And they didn't have a business plan. And they were going to basically take all their savings and invest in a business that most likely would have failed, but for the consultation that they had with me. And I said, go back and do a business plan, do a financial analysis, make sure you have the cash requirements to support the business, and look at the challenges, and then come back to me and then decide whether or not you want to pursue this. And they, you know, I was able to talk them out of that business. And then now they bought something else. So I felt a little bit about that.
Yeah, and you brought up something I think that's also really good to remind people, and you've probably seen this a lot. You gave them great advice, business plan. I mean, how many people don't really do the due diligence? Because it's true. You get excited. Someone says, hey, we can get this snow cone truck, and there's thousands of people in the neighborhoods that are going to come out. But then it's the cost. It's you dumping money into it from a 401k. That happens a lot.
Yes. And people have to be careful. I mean, again, you go to those franchise shows and they have great opportunities, but people have to understand that you have to look out for yourself and you have to have advisors that look out for you because they're there for a reason. They're going to sell you a franchise. They will give you a lease agreement. They're not there to protect you. They have greatest intentions. They're not doing anything wrong, but it's up to you to protect yourself with the right advisors.
Yeah. So it's, I think that one thing that we've learned here for sure is, get a lawyer, definitely ask questions.
Yes, absolutely.
And get this book because it'll help anybody in this listening audience. Business SOS, 8 Common Legal Mistakes Business Owners Make and How to Avoid Them. Richard Sierra, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. Appreciate it.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.